It's after 5, so let's take our seats, please. I'm going to call to order the special meeting for the Joint Cities and Community Service District meeting for Thursday, February 21st at 5 p.m. Thank you all for being here this evening for a very important topic in our community. And with that, I want to ask Donna McMahon, our city clerk, to take roll.
Beginning with City of Aurora Grande, Mayor Ferrara.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Chuck Fellows.
Here.
Councilmember Costello?
Here.
Councilmember Arnold?
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie? Is absent. City of Pismo Beach, starting with Mayor Reese?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Higginbotham?
Here.
Councilmember Ehring?
Here.
Councilmember Rabinald? Is absent. Councilmember Vardis?
Here.
And for the City of Grover Beach, for the Community Services District, Oceano. President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Bookout?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean? Is absent. And Director Mann?
Here.
And for the City of Grover Beach, Mayor Scholes?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
Here.
Councilmember Ashton?
Here.
Councilmember Bright?
Here.
And Councilmember Lieberman?
Here.
We'd also like to recognize Board of Supervisors Ashajian and Supervisor Lenthal is coming soon.
Great, thank you, Donna. And would you all stand with us and have a flag salute? And Chief Copsey, I see you in the back room. Can you lead us? Chief Copsey. Okay, Once again, I'd like to thank every. Can you hear me? Once again, I'd like to thank all of our elected officials for being here this evening. We have, I would say, a spirit of collaboration in the South County. We have three city councils who I believe are unprecedented. We've got these great relationships in which we have demonstrated time and time again a cooperative spirit in trying to work in the interest of the community. I'm glad to see Oceano Community Services District here. The same thing goes for them as well as the supervisors. When I was thinking about how we were going to go forward in the meeting tonight, I was trying to make it relevant to myself. And so I wanted to kind of quickly tell you a story about one of the first jobs I had. I was a college senior, a newlywed with a kid on the way, and one of my jobs was to work for the City of San Luis Obispo. And that job entailed me getting up in the morning at 6 a.m., opening up the parks, putting the flags up at Mission Plaza. I would then go about my family life during the middle of the day. I would go back at 6, from 6 to 10 in the evening, and I would go bring the flags down, clean the facilities. And during that job, I met many people who were homeless or who were in transition. And the stories I heard left a deep impression on me. There were people who, I think we saw that homelessness is not something we strive for, it's a situation that happens due to circumstances. And I met many people who were good-spirited, people who had were very community service in mind. I often would go into a park and they would come up to me and say, "Are you cleaning the facilities? We have a problem with these college kids who keep coming into our park and leaving their trash, and we would really like to help you clean the park up." And so it was a great experience for me. And so it's with that that we are here tonight to talk about the issue of homelessness, to talk about the issue of those who seek a meal every day. We really want to learn from the service providers what services you provide so that we can get a better understanding of what's available in South County, so that at the end of the day, we can talk about a goal that, if nothing else, charts a course that try to meet these very important needs. Once the service providers are done giving us their base information, we'll bring it back to the electors up here. We will take comments. We will discuss possible goals. We'll also have, I think, Dana Lilly from the county to talk about the county's 10-year plan to end homelessness. So we want to hear what the county's doing as well so that we can continue this collaborative effort. And then we'll talk about next steps. So what I'd like to do at this point is call up those who have identified themselves as wanting to speak this evening, and this is just the service providers. And I've got four people from EOC who are in attendance. Jody Smith, who's the Homeless Services Director, Dee Torres, who is the Prado Day Center Manager, Della Wagner, who's Case Management, and David Lickney, who's Case Manager. I've got from People's Kitchen, Betsy Earler, I believe, is here. And then the County Task Force, the 10-year plan, Dana Lilly, who I mentioned before, and Carol Hadley. So I'm not sure if the EOC folks have coordinated and said if you're going to have one spokesperson or if you would like to each take 5 or 10 minutes. So with that, I want to call Jody Smith to the mic.
Good evening. Good evening. It's such a pleasure to see everyone, and I am so delighted that all of you have taken the time to come and, as a community, look and explore and look for some solutions for our homeless population in South County. I am here on behalf of Biz Steinberg. She currently is at the EOC board meeting tonight. And I have brought packets from EOC, and they're filled with programs. EOC is the Community Action Partnership Agency for San Luis Obispo County, and it's our job to develop programs that meet the needs of the low-income folks of San Luis Obispo County. And it's our job to assist you in helping to solve these problems. The case managers will each come up and they will talk about currently their community where we can all come together in a collaborative attempt to begin to solve these problems. I would like to introduce Dee Torres to you, the manager of the Prado Day Center. She has another meeting to go to right after this, and I will leave these packets for you on the table. Thank you.
Good evening. I was asked to come and speak to you a little bit about some of the services that we offer at the Day Center. We're not located here in the South County, obviously, but we do service some clients. We do service some clients that do come from the South County because there really aren't these services available here, as we know. That's why we're all getting together tonight. So a few kind of just informational pieces about the Prado Day Center. We're open 7 days a week, 8:30 to 4:30. We do receive city and county funds and some other miscellaneous funds, and we supplement those funds with a lot of fundraising. We do have to fundraise about, depends year to year, but roughly about a half of our overall budget comes from fundraising. So a lot of work on fundraising to keep the doors open. The services that we provide are real core services, such as showers, laundry. You can receive mail, you can receive messages, you can also send mail from the Day Center. We provide phone service to all local calls, and then long distance calls are on a kind of emergency as needed basis. We have lockers on site for the clients to store their belongings during the day. We, with the help and support of the city, we provide bus tokens, which help a lot with transportation. It's a very big issue with the population. We have a generous private donor who provides us with scholarships for kids to go to camp. And that resource is available to any homeless or very low income children in the county. We can help them to go to camp. We also can help to pay for after school and before school activities at the schools. We have breakfast, which is new in 2007. First time Prado has been able to provide referrals from everything from eyeglass vouchers to Goodwill clothing vouchers and Salvation Army vouchers. We help clientele receive vouchers and money to get driver's license. We do a lot of that as well. Some of the agencies that come on site and provide services at the day center, CHC has been a great partner of ours. They provide, not only do they have a medical van on site where they take care of medical needs, but they also have a case manager who's on site providing those services to our clients, which we find is very, very useful service. Department of Social Services has an on-site worker who comes once a week and meets with clients and tries to connect them with the services available through Department of Social Services. We have a Veterans Affairs representative who comes and does outreach at the day center, as well as a drug and alcohol. We work really closely with the school systems and with the different representatives in the schools, and we participate in kind of the safe system of care and things like that. But so we really try to fill a big gap. Real quickly, I'll just let you know how I got involved in homelessness and working with homeless people. I was a worker at the shelter, the overnight shelter in San Luis, the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter, before there was a day center. And so I was one of those very unfortunate staff members who had to every morning kick everybody out at 7:30 a.m., whether it was raining or storming, whether they were sick. And one of the frequent questions that people would ask me was, where do I go? And I was forced morning after morning to tell them, I don't know. And so needless to say, when the day center opened up and we were able in our county or in our city of San Luis to provide people that really, really needed a place to go during the day, when that became available, I jumped on board, and I've been there almost since the beginning, about 9 years. So really stand behind this, and I'm really looking forward to working with all of you to increase services here in South County. I think it's real needed. Thank you.
Ms. Torres, before you leave, I want to
see
if there's anyone who has any questions for you. Anyone to my right? Any questions of Ms. Torres regarding the Prado Day Center? Any questions to my left? Great.
Mr. V.
Thank you for coming forward.
That's much better, isn't it? Okay. How's that? Can everyone hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You thank me for coming forward. I want to thank you all for being here. This spirit of cooperation is really very impressive. Let me start out with the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter in San Luis Obispo. I know we're here to address South County problems, but they are related. What I'm going to do is just pass a couple of these sheets around. We don't have very many. We really don't have enough. But if you just kind of maybe pass them around. And you should each, every other person, have one up there. But anyway, the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter in San Luis had 25,744 shelter nights. They actually had 856 new clients that spent the night in the shelter. This is last calendar year, and had to turn away 424 people. They also serve 56,626 meals. There are some people that come to eat that are unable to stay at the shelter because of either lack of room or for other reasons. We in South County have no shelter. So the case managers, the four case managers from South County, manage people who have no place to stay at night. We need a shelter in South County. This is intensive case management. We deal with every kind of problem imaginable. But through it all, we housed 130 people last year. In other words, there are 130 people who were living on the streets or in their cars or in the dunes last year who now have a place to live. Of those 130 people, 54 were children. We not only find housing for them, which is not an easy thing because we have to deal with, because just to put somebody in housing who has had in the past a problem in retaining housing and then walking away from them is not helpful, doesn't accomplish the goal. So we have to stay with them. We are very, very busy in our office in Grover Beach, which is where our office is. But our clients come to us from all over South County and from each of your cities and districts. That describes, I guess, a little bit about what we do. Does anyone have any questions?
Hold on. Where are you located?
We're at 1616 Manhattan Street in Grover Beach, which is the corner of 16th and Manhattan.
Okay. And for those in the audience, there will be an opportunity for you to speak and ask questions. So we want to move forward in an orderly manner. Does any of the members up here have any questions? Okay, great. And also, I want to remind everyone, and we want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to speak this evening. There are speaker slips at the back table. If you fill those out, they will bring them up to me, and when the time is appropriate, I will make sure you have an opportunity to speak. Yes, Mr. Lieberman.
I did have a question related to the Maxine Lewis shelter.
Yes, sir.
Do you have an approximate idea of how many folks the shelter has capacity for?
Yes, the shelter itself has capacity for 49 persons per night, and then what we call overflow takes an additional 25 to 30 persons. The overflow is held in a different church or synagogue in San Luis Obispo each month. In other words, for 30 days, a church or a synagogue will set up in a common room in a gymnasium or large room, cots for an additional 25 or 30 people. Then after 30 days, those people will move to another church or synagogue. Usually the women and children, families, which is composed mostly of women and children, some men also, will go to the overflow so they can be separated out from the main population. Has not, but they're...
I better answer this one.
Okay.
Not at this time. We've been, in South County, we've been concentrating on our Head Start, our Early Start programs, but the health clinic, we have many other parts of our agency set up, but we have not begun to look for property in the South County as yet.
I got a question. In the paper today, we have the Sunny Acres, the Duval property. Do you help out in that property there also? And with that, if that property is closed down, will that have an impact on your situation in San Luis Obispo with housing? Mm-hmm.
Yes, the San Luis Obispo case managers, which are attached to the shelter and do what we do in South County, except they do it in San Luis Obispo, they will have some clients that are out at the Duval property. We in South County have from time to time have had clients who are out at the Duval property, as well. But yes, it will affect us, and it will certainly affect the city of San Luis Obispo, but also South County too, if the Duval property is closed, because then those people will be, however many additional people will be out on the street. And but I do know that the case managers in San Luis, sometime we use that property as a transitional place until we can find more permanent housing.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Does the EOC have any other representatives that would like to speak?
Hi, my name is David Lichty, and I am a case manager 3 days at the shelter and 2 days down here in Grover Beach at our office. Try not to recover things that Larry and the rest have already covered. Jody Smith asked me to talk a little bit about one of the barriers to employment or to housing our clients is mental health issues or emotional issues. My background is in marriage family therapy, and I'm just short of being licensed. Have to pass one of the tests still. But that they have these kind of disabilities, some of them are, that's the biggest thing in their mind is to keep that idea that they have a mental health issue, in check. And so we work with different agencies like CHC and different psychiatrists and mental health to try to get these people some services, get them diagnosed, get them whatever medications they might need, and the services that to support them and run them through the process. We either run people through an employment track or a disability track. And I've met with several people who, like I said, it's not easy for them to come to that conclusion that possibly their biggest barrier to being employed and housed is their mental health issues. If they're willing to work with us, we can help them get diagnosed and get on disability so that, and then we go from there to being able to house them because then they actually have some kind of income. Yeah. I don't know if I should.
Thank you, Mr. Lichty. Any questions? Mr. Ferrara.
Yeah. David, excuse me, just one quick second. You mentioned something that I think has come up in the past as relates to your ability to sit down and counsel those that that need it, and that is that there needs to be a willingness on the party to do that. Mm-hmm. And I know on a couple of occasions we've encountered situations where there's clearly been a mental health issue, but the person was unwilling to engage in that kind of assistance. Is there, I don't suppose there's a magical solution that can kind of cut through that.
I think, if you can hang around the person long enough and talk to them long enough, if you can have peers, so to speak, explain to them that this isn't the end of, a lot of them see it as the end. If they admit that they have some issue like that, that's it, then they're on the government take and someone's going to take care of them and they want to take care of themselves, or there's any number of directions that goes. Some of them are just like you explained, are just completely unwilling, but others, if you frame it right, if you just if they start to going down that disability track, they have accepted help.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else? Please come forward.
My name is Della Wagner, and I'm a case manager here in South County as well. And I think that our area would benefit greatly from day services or night shelter services. 99.9% of my caseload are single mothers and children or two-parent households with upwards of 4 or 5 children. A majority of them are staying in their cars, or when they can scrounge up enough money to get a hotel room for the night, they will. I am referring them, and I provide them with RTA bus passes to go down to San Luis Obispo, to access Prado to get laundry done, to access the showers at Prado, when instead of trying to avoid the illegal camping tickets and everything some of our clients are facing them, I am referring them to the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter for night services to keep them and the children off of the streets. If we had it, anything would be helpful to the clients that we have, because they need a lot more. With the RTA to get down there to take a shower at Prado and then go to their doctor's appointment or VA appointment or Social Security appointment, it takes anywhere upwards of 3 hours of bus time with transfers and waiting at the stations and everything. And when they have children in the schools or children with them, it makes it more difficult to try to accomplish all of these things. So if we had a day center here where they could access different resources in our community in one stop, it would eliminate a lot of the hassles and would also give some of my clients hope that they can get stuff done and that this situation isn't going to last forever. So I just wanted to speak on that.
Thank you, Ms. Wagner. That is very helpful. Any questions of Ms. Wagner? From the Mr. Nichols.
What did you say your caseload was?
I have 29 cases right now, comprising of adults and children, and I have two families consisting of 6 children and 4 adults that are pending opening status to be on case management. So there is a bit, we do have some clients that are waiting to get on case management also.
Any idea how many of these children are school-age children that go to school?
I have 6 that are under 5. I have 3 that are under the age of 2. I have 1 mother who's getting ready to give birth any day now. And I have another client who has high school age children.
I'm going to lower this a bit. Good evening. And I just want to say thank you all for coming. I think this is an incredible effort to get all of the governmental agencies together. And I'm just really excited that we're all here together. The South County People's Kitchen started serving meals in May 1991. The first meal was served to 3 people from the back of a truck near the present-day Grover Beach Railroad Station. Through the years, we have been faithful to our mission to serve meals to the homeless and food-challenged population of the 5 cities area. Like the post office, we say that neither rain, sleet, snow warrants to arrest our serving teams or car accidents have been able to keep us from making our appointed task. For nearly 17 years, our teams of volunteers have given of themselves by making and serving food every day of the year. This includes Thanksgiving and Christmas days, when there are so many people offering to help that we actually have to turn away volunteers. We have a 35-day per month calendar with 35 different teams responsible for their particular day. Our serving teams represent 18 local churches and include a team from Arroyo Grande Hospital. Over 300 volunteers are actively involved each month. We do not discriminate or qualify people to eat with us. Therefore, a person driving a Mercedes is just as welcome as a person on foot. However, our prime focus is to ensure that the hungriest element of our community knows that there is a place in which they can depend, where they can come to get a nutritious meal and meet together in a non-threatening environment. Until our recent relocation, we had been serving between 50 and 100 people a day. Unfortunately, the group of people on which we focus is also one of the emotionally fragile ones, and they do not do well with change. We are currently serving 20 to 40 people, but expect that the numbers will go up again as people become more comfortable with our new location. The population that we serve is diverse. They are all food challenged, with some of them being homeless, while others are not. Some of the people are camping out in tents or under tarps in different spots throughout the 5 cities area. Some live in their vehicles. Some are referred to as the working poor. They have jobs, but they can't afford a place to live. Some are abusing alcohol and illegal drugs. Some are in rehab programs and have been clean and often know the people on the teams that are serving to them. They are the people that I have begun to refer to as the untouchables of the Central Coast. They are different and they know it. Some are proud of the fact, but most of them are ashamed and have come to think of themselves as somehow less worthy than the general population. After all, regular people don't want to be around them and get all excited when they hear that the homeless would be coming to eat at a location near them. And so, we at People's Kitchen are providing a bridge between both worlds. We are doing more than just handing out a hot, nutritious meal. We are providing them with a place of belonging and acceptance. It's a place where people hug each other and look at pictures of the family, and we ask questions about their health, and we listen to their answers. And we pray with them and for them. A few weeks ago, someone was talking to me and slipped in the magic words, "No offense, but." In this particular case, he told me that we were just supplying people with food and were allowing them to buy their drugs and alcohol with the money that they were saving. Now, this is a popular belief, but it is not really the truth. The truth is that the people he was referring to would be buying their drugs and alcohol anyway and not bothering with the food aspect of their own lives. What we're doing is helping them to stay alive until they realize that they're killing themselves slowly and they need to begin to reach out and seek the help that they need. We are offering them a lifeline and caring about them enough to not let them go and slip farther and farther away from the general population. Another popular belief also lumps all food challenge people into a group labeled substance abusers. But the truth is that the majority of the people we serve are not in that category either. Some have been there and are recovering, and they are much less tolerant of abusers than you and I are. Another no offense but comment was that People's Kitchen is just a Band-Aid. And I couldn't agree more with that. That's why I'm so excited that we're all getting together and we're going to talk about this homelessness problem and try to collectively look for answers. Because the truth is, it's not going to get any better. And those of us that have been out there in the trenches applying the Band-Aids would really appreciate some help. Until today, we have been doing our own thing, almost in complete isolation, but now we've been given the opportunity to look at how we can overlap and interconnect our efforts. One of the things that has been happening to People's Kids want to serve to bring some ideas to the table. I had never thought of it till a couple months ago. This is what we learned. They think that a day shelter should be the first priority. A South County Prada Road that would continue to provide a hot, nutritious meal, but would also house a health clinic, mental health and drug and alcohol counseling, a Veterans Affairs office, help with housing and applying for jobs, showers that open at 6 a.m. in the morning for those who need to get cleaned up before they go to work, telephones, washing machines, and a mail drop. And there's a lot more, I'm sure. But it's very important to not lose sight of one of the things that People's Kitchen has always offered, and that is our unconditional love for the people that we serve. Over Christmas, I was feeling that we were letting our guys down, excuse me, because we didn't have an overnight shelter to keep them dry during the really, really hard rains. This is what a couple of the guys told me. Any fool can stay dry. You are giving us a healthy hot meal, and you care about us. We can take care of staying dry. Which doesn't mean that they wouldn't appreciate a nice place to stay temporarily, but it's not as high of a priority for the majority of the men we serve. I suspect the answer might be different for single women and for families. One of the guys said he had come up with a design of a place, 360 rooms, and if you come in and you're drunk, straight to the detox center. That's another thought to keep in mind. Anyway, so again, I say that I'm excited that we're all here together. People's Kitchen still needs help. We have a temporary site that was provided to us by the County of San Luis Obispo, with Jerry Lenthal being the driving force to keep us housed. Both he and Supervisor Cacho are helping to continue to support us. People's Kitchen may be homeless when summer comes and the county starts remodeling the building we currently occupy. Those of us at South County People's Kitchen are praying that many of you have the same interests that we do. And the future is going to be fixed because we're working cooperatively to make it happen. Thank you very much for listening.
Can we Normally I would say, can we hold the applause down? But Betsy, thank you very much for that information. Does any of the...
Those that have been reluctant and feel nervous will come. Some of the reasons that our numbers are down is that people are actually going into transitional housing. They've been clean and sober for a while now, and they're actually, one guy went home to Oregon. So that's part of it. But the majority of it is they're nervous, but they know we're there. That's really not the issue.
Thanks.
Mr. Ferrara.
Betsy, we have two programs, probably a bit different than the People's Kitchen orientation, but Harvest Bag, and which has I think now become part of the food bank. Mm-hmm. Do you have a linkage at all with that organization?
Not with Harvest Bag, but we do with the Food Bank Coalition.
Okay.
Because South County People's Kitchen is the nonprofit organization with a designation to feed people. Excuse me. We get things from the food bank, and some of the money is, help me, Carl, USDA. Okay. What is the free food?
It's from donations primarily.
Okay, but don't we also get some government food? No. Okay. Anyway, the people within the county of San Luis Obispo donate food to the food bank, and then we can get it for a really cheap price, and some of it actually is for free. And so that's how our serving teams get them out to help. But the food bank and the Harvest Bag and all those, they're groceries. There's a Five Cities Christian Women that also has a little food bank, and their groceries. What we're providing is the hot meal, and I think we are the only ones in the South County doing it, as far as I've heard.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Ms. Bright.
Thank you. Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
I just wanted to know, how is the new facility working for you?
It's great. I think as far as the serving teams are concerned, it's a lot easier than it has been in the past. The logistics are a little bit different. We're farther separated. We have some people inside are more fragile, older people are inside, and our tougher guys who like to be outside are outside. And it's supervisor-wise, it's a little bit more of a challenge. But for us as a serving team, I think everyone is pretty much happy with what's going on. Yeah, it's too bad we can't keep it forever and ever.
It's Nancy Inwald from South County People's Kitchen. She's the secretary and one of the co-founders of the organization.
Thank you. Nancy?
We actually do get, we're a congregate feeding program, and we actually do get USDA food every month. We do. And we try to purchase all of our food through the food bank. Sometimes we have to purchase meat through the grocery stores or whatever, but we always try to get the best deal and purchase what we can through the food bank.
Thank you very much. Huh?
You're welcome. Mr. Ferrara. Okay.
Just one last quick question on on, I guess, the source of the food. There used to be a program where there was some organized effort to work with the restaurants in the area, particularly at the end of the day, for food that was still quite good, but would be thrown away. Is there any program in place that does that?
Actually, I'm not real super familiar about it. We did get food when we first started back in 1991. We did get food, and then we used to get produce and stuff from Scolari's Market, and they stopped us because of spoilage and that there was a problem. We were told about a Good Samaritan law that would allow us to do that, but they still stopped us from getting that, and restaurants did the same thing. And then the food bank, we depended more and more upon the food bank, and we know that the quality of food that we're getting from the food bank is much more healthier, fresher, less expensive, easier to get. So we do not at this time pick up. We do pick up a couple from a couple bakeries. We get their day-old bread and their day-old pies, desserts. But otherwise, we go to the food bank to get whatever else we can.
Thank you.
I think one of the things to think about when you're talking about getting food from restaurants is the logistics of having to pick it up and keep it safe and sanitary until it can be used. And, you know, little bits here, little bits there, little bits there sometimes doesn't make for a really good meal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Were there any other questions? Thank you again, Betsy.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Is Carol Hatley, is Carol Hatley here? Oh, there you are. I didn't see. Carol, would you like to come forward?
Good evening. And over the years, we've developed or acquired and rehabbed an additional 145 units in San Luis Obispo, 42 units in Atascadero, and 22 in Los Osos, all of which those are rental units. In the South County area, our Section 8 program still operates in South County. We currently subsidize rents on the private market for 173 households in Arroyo Grande, 181 in Grover, and 276 in the other areas of South County, including Oceano, Napomo, Pismo Beach, Shell Beach. And those programs are very critical in allowing people to find housing in the areas where they used to be living or working. And it is affordable. They pay a portion of their income for rent. We subsidize the difference through the Housing and Urban Development Department. Development of new housing, which is something that we have tried to focus on because affordable housing is, of course, critical. And in trying to work with landlords, we find that the units that we develop and maintain allows us to keep the rents and the subsidies at a lower level than what we would on the private market. So that's been our focus over the last few years. I'll touch on that a little bit more. The other component then of the Section 8 program is that basically there are not enough vouchers, Section 8 vouchers, to serve the need in this community. We opened up our waiting list in October of 2006 for 6 days. We had 2,600 people apply during that 6-day period, and then we closed it because what we have found, of course, is that it's not very heartwarming to a person walking into the office who is homeless or has children and is homeless or about to be homeless, and we tell them that the wait is 3 to 7 years. So it's a slightly disheartening. So anyway, our focus has been to try to work with the people that we can quickly. Many of those, we do give a point for homeless clients, so they typically get housed first. So it's a difficult process, and of course, they're just not enough. It's not a problem that you can solve because those are federally funded items. But one of the things, too, that we also do is work directly with many of the social service agencies, EOC being one of them that's here tonight. A lot of them have actually acquired several single-family houses in San Luis and Atascadero for group homes because, as was indicated, we do find that there are some people either coming from homelessness or coming from other situations that need more of a support service before they move into independent living. So these group homes are intended to provide independent living skills, connect them up to medical services, connect them up to mental health services if it's needed. A work training program comes in and helps get people employment at whatever level is possible and coordinate transportation. Those are all issues that the people have to deal with in trying to not only find housing, but then deal with the other services that are necessary. So the collaborative effort has been something we have really fostered, and Dana Lilly will be talking about the 10-year plan as well. We work with the Homeless Services Coordinating Committee. We're also working with Drug and Alcohol and the Medically Fragile, which is, of course, a more recent issue with people being discharged from the hospitals that are homeless and what they're going to do with them. So we're making units available to that program as well. One of the other barriers to people being able to find affordable housing, assuming that they have subsidies or some other linkage to programs that can help them, is security deposits. I don't know how many of you have had to try to rent a unit in the last couple of years, but security deposits can be anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000. And if you're on a fixed income every month, that really doesn't equate. So the county, fortunately, has funded a security deposit loan program that we administer. So that helps people get into housing as well. The Department of Social Services does the same thing. Let me see here. What else do we do? I think what I want to point out in this whole summit that you're doing, which is very important, is the need for the collaborative effort. When we've tried to develop housing and we've looked at housing opportunities in the South County, so in dealing with your planning departments, it's quite critical that the funding that the cities or the county have be available to not just the Housing Authority, but other nonprofit agencies that do develop affordable housing. We'll tie it all together is we do administer a first-time homebuyer program as well, which helps people with down payment assistance getting into purchasing of their first home. So in our mind, what we try to deal with is the myriad of programs that will take the person from homelessness or even the working poor in our community, because we are seeing more and more clients that are the working poor. The income levels that the average family earns is not enough to pay the rents, or definitely not enough to buy housing in this community. So what we try to do is take them into the rental subsidy programs. There's many programs that will help with self-sufficiency type programs through DSS, through PIC, through work training, through us, and we'll do matching fund type of situations to then try to get the person to where they're able to live and or work at something that will enable them to then move on to home ownership. And those home ownership units are critical. So from our perspective, it's a collaborative effort with the social service agencies, EOC, the Housing Authority, DSS, Drug and Alcohol, and those of you who represent the cities and counties, so that we can produce the whole range and spectrum of housing that is needed in this community on an ongoing basis. So I think that covers it for what the Housing Authority is involved in at this time. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions?
No. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Hadley.
Thank you.
Let's see. I actually have a slip from Carl Hansen. Carl, are you with the food bank? So I want to give you adequate time. So why don't you come up and tell us about food bank and all the wonderful things you're doing.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and it's an opportunity to meet some of you face-to-face who I've emailed with or talked to on the phone before, and thank you for gathering all of us together this evening. And first, I want to apologize to Nancy and Betsy for knowing more about our programs than I do. They do benefit down here from a sort of an unusual extension of the USDA, because they pick up at the food bank for People's Kitchen, and then much of what they get is supplemented beyond that distribution. And while I'm on that subject, tonight is not necessarily to tell the whole story about the food bank, but a very small piece of it, but a significant piece for this region, which is that we do have a warehouse in Oceano. It's not really a suitable warehouse for a permanent site, either exactly where it's located or in the quality of the building. It's a building that we rent for a very beneficial rate from John Taylor, who's a local farmer. It's an old packing shed, probably built in the 30s, and it's a month-to-month arrangement, and we would really like to have a permanent state-of-the-art food bank facility, not necessarily real large, but suitable for distributing food to all the agencies that we serve here. And I would like to add to that that we would be delighted if we could find a facility or a piece of property that we could build on and partner with People's Kitchen at least, if not a shelter organization as well, to be part of that facility. I think People's Kitchen would be very natural. It's not unusual to have a kitchen at the end of a food bank somewhere, because it's so easy there to serve the needs of a kitchen when we're right there. Right now, we're kind of handicapped by the fact that in most kitchens, you have teams that come in and cook. And at the food bank, we're not set up to have people come in and shop for one meal. It's not that kind of situation, and people like to cook what they want. And it's not like a grocery store where you can come and necessarily get what you want, because they have to take what we have on that particular day in our inventory. So we could better serve People's Kitchen, and I think collaborating in terms of a facility would make a lot of sense. And I've spent the afternoon here in this area along with one of our board members, and our warehouse manager, Jim Lewis, who's over here, looking at different properties. And a few of them really look suitable, but I would really appreciate your keeping your eyes and ears open for a lot that's in a location that might be suitable for that kind of a facility. Three quarters of an acre or an acre would be ideal. And in Grover Beach, Oceano area would be ideal for us spot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Any questions, Mr. Hansen? Great. Thank you again. Thank you. Were there any other representatives from service providers here this evening that may not have let us know? Come forward and state your name for the record and the organization you're representing.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having us here this evening. My name is Patty Diffendorfer, and I am with Community Health Centers of the Central Coast. I am the program manager of the Healthcare for the Homeless program, which operates at 710 West 13th Street, South 13th Street in Grover Beach. Community Health Centers has been providing medical primary care services to the underinsured and uninsured for 30 years. This is our 30th year. And we have a program that we're very proud of, which is known as the Healthcare for the Homeless program. And we have a full-time case manager, a part-time licensed clinical social worker, and a psychiatrist that is on site one day a week. We partner with many of the other agencies that have been here this evening and have spoken to you. I came from a background in housing. I worked for the Housing Authority in the County of Santa Barbara for 14 years. And when I went to work with them, I was homeless, and was homeless 5 years prior to that. So I have a passion for seeing these programs up and running and helping the people that really need the help. And as Betsy so eloquently put it, you know, they aren't really different than the rest of us. And many of us are just one paycheck away from the streets. So it's imperative that we all work together to provide the services that are needed in this community. When I came to work for CHC 8 months ago, I was astonished when I started speaking with the case manager, Jan Stone. Well, where is this and where is that and where's a shelter here? And she said, there isn't one. The closest one is in San Luis. And I went, well, what do? Where do they stay? Wherever they can. And I said, something has to be done. There's no services between Santa Maria and San Luis for the people that are out on the streets. No, there aren't. And what we came up with was that People's Kitchen basically was the one. There's no time like the present time. We need to find a facility where these people can bathe and can have dignity and be treated with respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Giffendorfer.
Good evening. My name is Scott Smith. I'm with People's Self-Help Housing. And we're a private nonprofit organization that works throughout the Central Coast. And we are primarily a permanent affordable housing provider. We were formed in 1970 and started out providing only home ownership throughout Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo County. Our office, we have two offices. Our main one is in the city of San Luis Obispo, and we have a satellite office in the city of Santa Barbara. About 1985 or so, we realized that in addition to home ownership, we needed to start providing rental housing. And so our board directed us to develop a program in that regard, and we've produced about 1,200 rental housing units throughout the Central Coast since that time. What I wanted to emphasize to you tonight is we see ourselves as being wanting to be available as a service to all of you cities, and we have provided a number of housing units in each of your cities already. But what I wanted to mention tonight is, first of all, that there really isn't one profile of a homeless person. We're just completing a rental housing development, all affordable, in the city of San Luis Obispo. It's 28 units of rental housing, and it includes every size of unit, from studios, one-bedroom units, two-bedroom units, and three-bedroom units. And it also includes mixed-use commercial at the front because it was a mixed-use type of zone. And so we advertised, and we decided that what we wanted to do with that project was something a little bit different. In addition to the affordable workforce type of family that we're renting to, we wanted to set aside five of them for families that were experiencing homelessness. So we put the word out through agencies, and it's just amazing what the response that came in. And that's why I wanted to say there is no typical profile of the homeless person. We had at least 50 applications from homeless households for those five units, and I want to say that many of them were applicants from the homeless shelter, but there are a lot of homeless folks that are not necessarily through there. We got just heartbreaking stories. Those folks are employed, actually, also, so they just don't make enough money to afford housing. So the second point I wanted to mention is that resources are really, really scarce, as we all know. So I really encourage you to listen intently to Dana Lilly's presentation tonight about this 10-year plan. People Self-Help Housing is on the committees that are involved with that planning process, as are all the agencies, I think, for the most part, that are here tonight. We really, my understanding so far is this is not really it's not a county Board of Supervisors plan. The concept, and Dana will certainly correct me if I'm wrong, the concept is that this is a countywide problem, and we want to manage our resources and work really smart. So the idea is really to hopefully enlist your participation in those meetings and that planning process to look at how we deal with this issue as a countywide community, and not just something that, you know, the county Board of Supervisors is doing this, and we're going to do this over here. So and through that process, I think we can use our resources in the most intelligent way possible. So far, my impression is we've had two meetings I've been in two meetings the last day that lasted about 6 hours total, probably on the issue with this 10-year plan. And what keeps coming through is the answer to homelessness is permanent housing. Housing first, get them into housing. We're always going to need the emergency shelters because people need to know, where am I going to stay tonight? But we need to get them out of the shelters as fast as possible and into a permanent housing situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. And I think that was a really good segue into the next part of. Is there one more service provider here?
I want to thank you for this opportunity to address you all. My name is John Laufer, and I'm currently the president of the El Camino Homeless Organization in Atascadero. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about where we came from, where we are, and where we'd like to go. And I'd also like to offer someone that's trying to duplicate our effort, this what I call the ECHO recipe. And I'll go through that just a little bit if I have time. But basically, ECHO is a nonprofit corporation founded about 7 years ago by a small group of people who had been working at Loaves and Fishes and decided that everybody didn't have a kitchen to make their meal in, so they decided that they would start serving a lunch out of a church store shelter and really warehousing people, that we would like to do a little more and try to help some of these people get back on their feet and get permanent housing. Currently, we're providing meals for between 40 and 60 people each night, 7 nights a week. We hit an all-time high this summer at 67. Overnight, we're providing 30 beds shelter, but one time, I think late October on a rainy night, we got 35 people in there. And as far as our clientele, as somebody pointed out, they range from people whose car broke down or have an asthma attack to people that have been there over a five-year period on and off for 600 days. One time we had 17 children. Somebody asked about children. Probably half of those are school age and maybe half preschoolers. We're working with Good Samaritan Services, and our vision for the future is to provide a campus-type environment. I guess the politically correct name for that, I guess, is a human resources campus. And on that campus, we would provide our meal and shelter program that we're doing now, but we'd add a six-bed detox facility and also a transitional housing for women with children. And we've partnered, as I say, with Good Samaritan Services to do that. We're just a couple months away, I think, from getting an option to buy a piece of property that would allow us to do this on our own facility and not a rented facility. As I mentioned, I should say, if you want to know more about us, please check our website. It's echoshelter.org. And on there, you can go to various places and you can see what we're doing and what our vision is. And if I could just spend a minute, go down through our recipe here. We've got the process as we see it, from going from homeless to permanent housing, our mission and our approach, our bylaws, our goals and objectives for 2008, one of which is to help other people duplicate what we're doing. We got an organization chart, position descriptions, an annual report for last year, share our policies with you, show you a 24-hour timeline, share with you our intake procedure, our rules and consequences, the information we use for overnight volunteers. And I should mention, overnight volunteers are a great asset, and Cal Poly is supplying about one-third of our overnight chaplain. I've been up there to buy it, and I'll tell you, $15 will fill my pickup truck completely. In addition, we're conducting an AA-NA meeting on Monday nights, and on Wednesday nights, we're doing a Homeless Anonymous program. And I should also say that CHC is providing us a counselor on-site 4 hours a day, and this is the key way to have her have eye-to-eye contact every night with our clients so that they can develop a mutual trust where we can really get at the root cause of their problem. And I'm amazed that all the organizations throughout the county that are there to help, if you can just get the person directed to existing services. And that's one of the advantages of the campus type arrangement. We're going to have those services on the campus. Also in our recipe is how we do our intake interviews, our intake folder, and so on. So I would be glad to, after the meeting, if you want, if you tell me who I should be working with, I'd be glad to do that. As far as the government, I guess since we have some of you here, I think the thing you could do for us is a little denser zoning. I work with the Workforce Housing Coalition for a year or so, and it seems like there's not a technical problem. It's basically a political problem to be able to get the density in close to the center of town. And I think if we get the density, I think it could help the housing a lot. I think as far as cleaning the streets and the creeks and trying to get those people in where we can help them, I think there's camping ordinances, there's no alcohol open containers, there's panhandling. There's a lot of things like that that have been adopted in Santa Maria that I think would help us get these people to where we can give them help. I guess one last thing is our board of directors, we have 22 people. We have an ex-mayor of Paso Robles. We have an ex-mayor of Atascadero, a current councilman. We have a judge. We have a police officer, and so we're getting a lot of good help from the community. And as far as if we looked at our demographics, over a period of 1 year, we have about 600 different clients that are in our shelter, going through our shelter. We have 1,200 volunteers. So we have a 2-to-1 ratio of volunteers to clients. So I think the volunteers are out there, and I think...
Yes, Mr. Lieberman.
Thank you for coming. It's tap activated. Okay. You're talking about the option for your campus that you're looking to
yes.
obtain. Can you give us an idea of size that you're looking at?
It's approximately 4 acres. It has 13,500 feet under roof. I guess that's the other thing. It's been brought to my attention that there's a new Assembly Bill 2 or something that was enacted this January that says every county or every city, I'm not sure of the language, whether it's will, shall, or what the language is, but I understand that essentially it says that in each locale, the governing jurisdiction there can provide a site without a conditional use permit. And that would really help, because in every time you want to get a site, you always have an NIMBY issue. So.
Thank right. you, sir.
And just clarification, you're a yes. completely volunteer organization. Is that correct?
That's well, we have 1,200 volunteers, as I mentioned, 22 board that's all volunteers. Right now we have 2 staff members, one from Community Health Center, CHC, that is our counselor, and they fund that. But it is a paid staff on site, but it's funded by somebody else. We have one other staff member that runs our meal and shelter programs. And that individual is funded through the AmeriCorps program, where we give them a stipend, if you will, or a sum, and they actually do the payroll. Okay. So we don't have any direct employees, but we have 2 paid staff.
Very good. Thanks, sir. Any mm-hmm. other? Ms. Reese.
One question. You said you had 4 acres?
No. We right now have a lease at a First Baptist Church.
Oh, I gotcha.
Our vision is to actually own the property and develop the campus. I think the question was this campus idea that we're thinking about, what kind of size are we talking about? And we're talking on the order, by the time we build it out with a detox center and a transitional living, we're probably talking about a $2 million capital investment. We're working with Good Samaritan Services to go after something close to $1 million state grant. And we'll probably be talking to some of you folks about some capital. And we will carry on a significant public-private real fundraising campaign. Clothing, personal care, and we provide $200 toward the first month's rent in conjunction with Salvation Army, EOC, and others.
Great. Thank you for coming forward. And if you would leave that information with our city clerk, that'd be great. Was there one last service provider?
My name is Galen Thornton. I'm from 5 cities here. My wife and I live in Grover Beach, and we've been doing rescue in this area for about 8 years now on a small level. Presently we have a thrift store that's up and running in Oceano on 15th Street, and we accommodate a lot of needs there. We have a day shower there for some of the Oceano homeless down there that come by, you know, whenever. And we, of course, accommodate the local public down there with thrift store items at a real good cost. And we also presently have a women's home in Oceano that right now we accommodate, let's see, there's 4 gals there. We have 4 children. And our vision is similar. Gentleman just spoke, similar except down here. And a week and a half ago, I got presented with proposal to take over about an acre of land in Oceano on the down there where the towing truck services are. It looks doable. It looks like it's zoned right. And we want to build what we're calling Five Cities Rescue Mission. And myself, I've been kind of in training for the last almost 9 years in Ventura County Rescue Mission and another place called the Lighthouse Mission. I've worked with Teen Challenge, and our program would be similar to Teen Challenge for the, you know, for the recovery and whatnot. In this Five Cities area. And again, the name of our ministry is Just As I Am. We have, right now, there's seven churches that are that are very interested. We met with them over the last 2 weeks after the property was proposed to us. And just real glad to be here and glad to see the you know, the interest and what, because this stuff affects all of us, you know. So if anybody needs to, you know, to talk or whatever later, come by and see me down at the thrift store. It's the old trading post in Oceano. And I'll take you for a tour, show you our new property, and, you know, come aboard. And we're really flexible to working with all the agencies and churches. I know a lot of people in here, and you know, this is a, you know, it's a whole, you know, Five Cities effort. So
thank you, Mr. Thornton. Is there any questions of Mr. Thornton? Mr. Lintel.
Mr. Thornton, could you give a phone number for people? I know you know a lot of folks out here, but I think you have a resource that's available for someone, whether it's People's Kitchen and someone couldn't make it from the South County because of a transportation issue or something like that. So we can kind of close the loop here, because it sounds to me like, and I wasn't aware of this, and I apologize for that, but you have a service available that not everyone in this room may not know about. And also, right. Now that they know about it, how would they get a hold of you? I mean, okay. If they're not able to go to the thrift shop and call, I mean, do you give a phone number out? Do you have an answer machine, your cell phone, your Palm Pilot, or what?
Let's do the cell phone. That's okay. 904-8289.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. At this point, I want to call Mr. Dana Lilly up, and Dana is going to give us some information on the county's 10-year plan.
Thanks for allowing me to speak tonight, and I have to tell you thank you for spending your time and effort to get together tonight to do some fact-finding about this very important issue. Over the past decade, services for the homeless are declining. Another trend we've noticed that's positive is that we've noticed more and more grassroots efforts in different communities starting up to try to deal with the problem. Now, some of those trends are good, but they kind of are clashing. And we were noticing that it looks like we were entering into an era of more and more competition among community-based groups for fewer and fewer resources. And it started raising questions among many of us. Are we doing this in the most effective manner? Are we doing this in the most cost-effective manner? Are there other models out there that we can learn from? And you've heard another word tonight that is very important, collaborate. How should we and can we countywide collaborate better to use these resources more efficiently? And are there more resources we can get? Not quite a year ago, the Economic Opportunity Commission, which is probably the premier organization providing most of the homeless services in this county, had obtained some funding, a grant from the state, match with some grants from the city and the county, all federal funds, to plan and establish a new homeless shelter in San Luis Obispo. The existing shelter is wearing out, and it's too small. At the same time, these different groups were starting to argue about each other about what model should be used, and should EOC even go forward with that before they tried to reach some kind of consensus. I'm very encouraged because they all got together via what we call the Homeless Services Coordinating Council, which isn't really a legal entity. It's just a group of all these different agencies that get together regularly to try to learn from each other and collaborate. And they quickly reached consensus that if EOC was willing, perhaps those grants they had just got to plan and establish a new shelter in San Luis could be redirected and used to prepare a plan with all of us collaborating to build this plan that would give us a better roadmap about what our homeless program should look like. That's what we're calling the 10-year plan. From the federal perspective, it's also something that we're going to be required to do. Affordable rental housing or ownership housing, that's all much better than just keeping them in a shelter overnight and then in a day shelter during the day, if you can even afford those things. I was impressed at how quickly they all reached consensus, and I was also impressed at how quickly the Economic Opportunity Commission agreed. At the same time, they weren't sure, the people in the Homeless Services Coordinating Council, well, who should we hire to help us do this plan, and what agency in the county should contract with them? Because EOC is seen by some groups as using a lot of these resources that some of the others could use as well. And if EOC hired the consultant, the concern is, would it be a biased plan? And I guess the agencies involved felt that the county may be the agency with the most regional perspective and the least biased towards one or another one of those organizations. And so they asked us, at the county planning department, in part because we also administer a lot of other federal resources, if we would be the contracting entity. So what Scott Smith told you earlier is true. While we at the county might like to claim credit for this being our plan, it isn't. It's really your plan. It's all of the stakeholders who are concerned about this problem. It's their plan. So we said yes. And thankfully, my director and the Board of Supervisors agreed to allow us to spend the time necessary to do that. We're not really the lead agency, per se. I would say if anybody is, it's the Homeless Services Coordinating Council. We're a contracting and coordinating entity. We, as we're required, we issued a request for proposals. We had three firms give us their proposals, and happily the one we really wanted did submit a proposal. They're called Homebase. They're a legal firm based in San Francisco that their biggest specialty is doing these 10-year plans. They have extensive experience doing these. I believe they've done over 100 of them for other jurisdictions, including Santa Barbara County just very recently. The method they're using to prepare this plan, unlike some consultant-driven studies we do, is that they aren't going to just go write a plan, a draft plan, and give it to us to comment on. They're going to facilitate, and what our consultant has recommended is that if possible, three officials from each city and the county be on this leadership council. And there would be the equivalent of a city manager and two elected persons. Now, that's the ideal. It's obviously, each city has their protocol to decide which, if any, of their city council members will participate, and whether the city manager will as well. We aren't telling any of the cities how you should structure that. You decide who, if anybody, will participate on the leadership council. This leadership council will meet once a month for 2 hours for at least, I think, 6 months, and receive reports from the really substance experts, which are the other four committees. They will provide you information, research on best practices, recommendations for parts of the plan, how they think it ought to be structured. And then those of you who are on the leadership council will tell them, yes, no, why don't you change this in this way, etc. By the end of this, we hope we'll have a plan that each of the cities will feel they contributed to, they understand it, including the county, and they support it. It would be great if we all adopt it. It's not really necessary, but that would be a very powerful statement. The plan itself is not likely to say this specific site should be where a homeless shelter or a day center or some other service be provided, although I can't say that that won't happen. More likely, it will say, what is the organizational approach? What are the types of programs you should have? Should there be campus homeless shelter with other services in San Luis? Should there be similar ones but smaller in the North or South County, et cetera? Now, funding will still be a problem. We may end up with a 10-year plan that looks great, would be effective if we can implement it, but we can only implement it partially because between the funds we can generate locally and those we can get from the federal government, it's just not enough to fully implement it. That's okay. The plan is going to need to acknowledge that full funding may not be possible. We were hoping that it will. Now, there was a handout I dropped off. I think it's been passed around. You've probably all seen it. It looks like this. You also will be letting us know and that you will be participating. And I do want to make one observation of our consultant. I'm extremely impressed at the depth of their knowledge and the skill they have in facilitating these meetings, keeping the discussion on track and very productive. And I'm very encouraged that will help us reach consensus and produce this plan, in which it could be seen as a pretty ambitious schedule. Six months is not a long time to do something this important. I think that's most of my presentation, except for answering any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lilly. Any questions? Mr. Vardis.
Mr. Lilly, you mentioned that this 10-year plan, this is per a federal mandate. Is there specific requirements that this 10-year plan has to meet?
There are some, but the primary requirement be that it show programs and milestones how we could end chronic homelessness here within a 10-year period. So it's, you could call it a strategic plan because it will have actions, dates, and recommended organizational approaches.
Any other questions, Mr. Lilly? Mr. Hill.
Just a couple questions. You mentioned the Homeless Services Coordinating Council possibly being a lead agency. Can they actually be a lead agency, or is that not more appropriately to the planning department, because you guys are an agency in effect? How is that going to work?
The county planning department is the contracting entity, so we are going to be processing payments to the consultant. We're doing a lot of coordinating in the way of, you know, buying the big notepads and the nameplates and with social services department, arranging for rooms and maintaining membership lists of all the committees. The Homeless Services Coordinating Council has representatives from all the different stakeholders. So when they make recommendations, certainly to us, the county planning department, we feel that that came from an authoritative source.
Political subdivision, is that correct?
Yes.
I'm looking at your spreadsheet, and I'm seeing two placeholders there. So I just wanted to confirm you wanted three.
Two or three.
Okay.
It's your choice. You're certainly not held to two.
All right. And then my other question is purely schedule and logistics related, and that is, you already have people here.
Have there been meetings, and if so, which day or do you plan on meeting?
The Leadership Council will be meeting. The first meeting will be Thursday, March 20th, from 9 to 11. There have been no meetings of the Leadership Council. You really haven't missed out on anything.
Okay. And that's going to be a Thursday morning commitment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Lilly, for coming.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. We've received a lot of great information from the service providers, and it certainly helps us establish, do some fact-finding and establish a baseline. And so we really appreciate you coming forward and sharing with us. At this point, I want to take a five-minute break, and then we've been sitting up here quite a while, and then we'll come back. We'll have some public communications, and we'll have some discussion amongst the elected officials. So, five-minute break. Okay, let's reconvene the meeting. Now, on our agenda, it had talked about we were going to have some discussion about identification of goals and next steps, but what I would like to do is change the agenda a little bit because I know there have been some folks who have been here quite a bit waiting patiently. So I would like, if everyone up here is okay with that, to have some public communication at this point. And if that's, and I typically, silence is concurrence when I'm running a meeting, so I think we're okay, right? So I'm going to open this up to the public, and I want to be timely. I want to give everyone ample opportunity to speak. I've got about 9 speaker slips, so hopefully if you were planning on speaking this evening, you have filled out any Hooten Horton.
Is that right? Okay. Thank you, Adam Hill, Grover Beach. I commend you, Mr. Mayor, for initiating this and for all the electeds and the city staff for coming. I think this is an important meeting, and I'll keep it brief. I think some key ideas were expressed tonight. My own experience, I've been involved in my entire adult life in poverty-related causes, and I think really the goal needs to be collaboration, and I think the best model that I can think of is really going to be, whether you call it a campus model or an all-purpose facility. You heard the food bank's executive director talk about the need for a permanent location in the South County, and I really do think that there's an opportunity for there to be this sort of one-stop facility that can be a food bank, that can be a people's kitchen, that can be a shelter, that can be a transitional services place. It's, you know, we have a lot of charities in this community, and we have a lot of generous people. We have declining government budgets, so government's certainly not going to be able to address this problem in and of itself. So I really do stress that as you move ahead, that collaboration among, you know, public and private parties is going to be the key, and especially looking at this all-purpose facility as the model. I think that there is examples of that success out there in other communities, and I think it would be great here for the South County. So thanks again for everybody for being here tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Mr. Horton, Bernie Horton, are you still here? Okay. Pastor Galen Thornton, I think you had an opportunity to speak already. Oh, we may get through this quicker. James Rowland. Mr. Rowland, are you here? I saw him, too. I believe this is Vina Jenkins. She left, too. Dana Marie Bailey. John Loffer. You already had your turn. I think Patty Diefenderfer. You already spoke too. Henry E. King. All right, Mr. King.
Thank you all for being here. I'm a gentleman that worked about 33 straight years and lost a career job from Hewlett-Packard in the earliest I can in that area to secure a permanent place for that. The need for a day center and at least a winter shelter for everyone, which could be just an armory, you know, or an empty warehouse with pads and blankets provided in the winter months. But a full-time family shelter is needed in this area. I've seen the homelessness grow in this area considerably in the 5 years that I've been around here. People like me that don't need to go through drug and alcohol programs that have found their way out of that pit. Clean and sober living is not available. You have to be a drug addict or an alcoholic in this area to get any kind of help. You have to be able to go through the rehab, go into transitional housing where you have to jump through little hoops to prove that you need housing. But myself, I've been clean and sober for over 2 years. I'm a man of God. I go out and spread the word of God to the people in addiction, afflicted with illness and stuff, that are homeless. I have had friends in this area that there was nothing here to help them. They ended up dying on their railroad tracks or, you know, committing suicide and stuff. It's a needed thing to provide people with a place to have a bathroom. Simply a bathroom would help many, many people. We get tickets for using bathrooms. We get tickets for sleeping in the dunes. We get tickets for having an open beer way down the railroad tracks where there is nobody. Cops will come and chase you down for an open beer. I have been told that I am not a part of this community because I'm homeless. I'm considered a transient. I have a post office box here. I have a street address here where I can go and stay when I'm really bad off. Which, you know, that's mooching off of my friends, and, I, you know, it's not really what I'm about. And I feel that we all, I can see that we are looking at helping the homeless help themselves. And that's my goal, is to see that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King.
John, may I ask a question?
And thank all of you, not just mayors and council members, but staff. It takes a lot of work for all of you to do this, and I appreciate it, and a lot of the audience out here also. In this kind of setting and so forth, I don't want you to forget the children. I know we, on the school board, there's times that we have children that get in trouble and so forth, but a lot of it is they don't have a home. They don't have a place to go to. They don't have a hot meal at night. What they have is what they get at school in the mornings and are fed there. Sometimes they do go to the harvest bag, their parents do, and get the food that they have. In one of the years that I'd served, I will never forget that the parents, their only place was the car that they were living in. The child could not do their homework because they were using the light from the dome in the car. So when we try to find a place, women and children, I think, let's not forget them. Fathers have to go out and try to provide for their families and so forth. But it's not just those people. We have a lot of seniors who no longer can work. They can't get out there because of illness or for whatever reasons they have. They too, I went to the People's Kitchen and helped serve. And if that isn't an eye-opening experience for any of you, if you haven't done it, you need to do it. Instead of some of the naysayers who say, not in my backyard, they need to go serve these people, because there was a little man who was, all he had was Social Security, and it was towards the end of the month, he had nothing to eat, and that's what kept him going. So I really appreciate everything that you guys do, but don't forget the people who can't speak for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Santos. I'm going to close public communication. I'm going to come back. And Mr. Lieberman.
The gentleman who spoke, was his last name King?
Yes, Mr. King.
I was hoping that Mr. King left after he spoke, and I was hoping to ask him, being that he's been to many of the different facilities in the Tri-Counties area, I was just looking for feedback from him as to which he thought was the most effective and best suited his needs, and it's unfortunate that I missed him. That was my question.
I was going to say, is Chief Copsey still here? Can you go see? Can someone see if he's still around?
He's going to think you're chasing after him for a ticket.
For a good reason, Mr. King. So.
I don't have a ride home anyway, so I'm stuck. Yes, can I help you?
Mr. Lieberman had a question for
Mr.
you.
Mr. King, I'm glad that you didn't get very far.
No.
My question for you, sir, when you started sharing your experience with us,
Yeah. You
mentioned that you've seen and experienced several of these facilities, these campus facilities between Ventura County and San Luis Obispo
right.
County. And I was just hoping maybe you could share some of your insight, because it's invaluable, as to was there one of these facilities that was more appropriate or better suited your needs than others that maybe could be a model for us to consider?
Okay, the big one in Santa Barbara was pretty good when it first started, but now it seems to be cluttered with all sick people, so they're having a problem with that type thing. But their program was pretty good because it's a meal, day center, and housing, and it's large. Better places I've seen is day centers that have one or two staff members and then a group of homeless people that actually live there and do the labor. Do the, you know, all the little deeds that need to be done. That cuts down the cost. It becomes a place where people can pick up potential employees in the morning for day labor, that type thing. Laundries, people drop off clothing there, food there. Just many, many things can be done with a day center that doesn't cost us, you know, the community, really any money. That was in Santa Rosa. The best day center I've seen was in Santa Rosa, Northern California. It's run by Catholic Charities, and the director there, his name is Nick Baker. And I'm sure you could get a format of what they do, you know, by contacting him. Food programs. I've seen the gentleman was talking about a food program with the kitchen there, a kitchen that cooks every day. And once again, a small staff and volunteers from the homeless that come in, do the cooking, you know, help out with the cooking, do the dishes, all this thing is done by volunteers. The homeless don't, you know, the majority of homeless does not really want handouts. They, you know, most of them, like me, I worked all my life. I don't, you know, I'm not looking for a free ride. I'm areas. We're a tourist area. We don't, as a community, we don't really like to see dirty homeless running around with their backpacks and, you know, digging in garbage cans and stuff. I don't like to see it, and I'm homeless, you know, but I've had to do it to make a living in my life. A day center allows us to be clean. Have a place to stash that backpack and stuff in the day. So when we're walking down the street, we look like a normal human being, you know, like everybody else. It doesn't give an eyesore to the tourist. Therefore, we're not running them off. You know, a lot of money is tourism in this area. A lot of, you know, a couple of million people last year went to the dunes. It's ironic. They drive by numerous homeless that are only just off in the swamp or off in the dunes living. If they saw that, they wouldn't want to come back. We need a place to get us off the streets and make us really, you know, look right. But I would say that Santa Rosa, California, Nick Baker, he's kind of a jerk, but he'll work with you. You know, he's the head of the Catholic Charities there, so he has to deal with a lot of people. That town's got a lot of homeless. The gentleman was talking about San Francisco and Santa Barbara. They are overrun with homeless. It is just unbelievable. They're as bad as L.A., and we all know what L.A. is like. But San Francisco area is overrun. They're understaffed with facilities to help people.
Sir, thank you so much for your insight.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you, Mr. King, and you are a normal human being, just so you know. Great. With that, I'm going to close this again to the public. And there's a couple of things I'd like to say really quickly before we deliberate. And it had been brought up regarding the People's Kitchen and in Grover Beach. And I want to go on the record because I have all of the city council for Grover Beach here. And Betsy Earler and I have had numerous conversations, and I want people to understand that we definitely support the People's Kitchen. And we had folks who would come to us and express some concerns because when that organization originally started, the goal was to rotate it amongst churches. I think fellow councils and our supervisors and said, can we sit down and have a discussion of how we deal with human resources on a regional scale? So from where I sit, I think there's been a lot of great information here. I appreciate those who've come forward, and I really appreciate Mr. Thornton for coming forward because while we want to try and work with the county and coordinate on that, they're talking about a 10-year plan. We're talking about an action plan, something that we can move forward on in a quicker time period because, as Ms. Earler said, People's Kitchen is in another temporary location. And so from where I sit, we want to deal with the issue of homelessness full scale. And if a permanent location comes up for People's Kitchen, so much the better. So with that said, at this part of our agenda, we really want to talk about identifying some goals for this group. And once we do that, we'll talk about next steps. You know, how are we going to form a committee? I know there's already a task force, and I know we're talking about duplication of efforts, but right now we want to talk about goals. I think Mr. Hill talked about the first goal should be collaboration, and I agree with that. So what I want to do is, I hope you don't mind, Mr. Farrar, but I want to come to you first. Do you have any thoughts?
Okay. Thank you. Well, the first thing I want to do is commend John Scholes. You know, we were notified probably about, I can't remember, 6 weeks or so ago about the crisis that was confronting the People's Kitchen. And so John and I spoke and along with Mary Ann, and we decided that we would get together and see if we couldn't have a preliminary meeting and focus on what some of our issues might be for this meeting. And while we were discussing the issue with People's Kitchen, we were trying to decide whether the focus for this meeting should be broader and encompass some of the services that we were that we've heard about this evening. And it was actually our city managers who were involved in that meeting, Steve Adams and Bob Perot and Kevin were there as well. And their suggestion was, well, when we have this meeting, why don't we find out just exactly the nature of the services that are out there? And I'm so glad that they mentioned that, because I think that brings us to really our the first all of the singular efforts that are underway out there. A lot of you who have these efforts have sponsored these efforts. You've grabbed the small rope, and you're pulling like heck to try and make a difference. And it's clear to me that the only way we're going to get our arms around this problem and start to move forward is that if everybody grabs the same rope. And I think that needs to be a goal. We have to focus on grabbing that rope and pulling together. The comments that have been made about some form of a campus or comprehensive center, I think, has to be a goal. I'm not certain whether the timing is going to be as fast as we would like it, but I think that that certainly needs to be a focus of ours. And I think Carl Hansen said it best: if we can find a one-stop shopping center, it would be a wonderful thing to work at. If we're going to have the services pulling together, it seems to me that we need to have government pulling together. And I think that would be the next goal. And that brings us to the task force that Dana spoke of. And I think I know a goal of ours will be at our next council meeting to make a determination as to the degree of participation, whether we have two or three people to participate in the leadership council. Now, that brings us back to John's statement a moment ago about the timeliness of a 10-year plan versus the need of the immediate need of the People's Kitchen. And I believe that can be a parallel effort. And I think that parallel effort through the 10-year plan, I think the connection still has to be there. I don't think it would serve our purpose to separate the crisis of the People's Kitchen from the overall effort that needs to occur through a structure that's already been established. So I think we can run the two efforts in a parallel way and make some advances in both of them. So that would be just my, you know, take on it right now, John, about, you know, just a few goals that we might start looking at. And I'll defer to any member of my council that would like to have input. Chuck or Joe or Jim or Ed, anyone?
I've been an elected official. Is this on? Okay. For as soon as possible. And I don't have any other great ideas right now. Thank you.
Okay. Joe or Jim or Ed, anyone?
Okay. I think I'd have to, first thing I have to say is I'm not really aware of how big the problem is. I don't even know what I don't know. And I think that's a problem. I know we have a problem, but I don't know the scope of it. I don't know how to solve the People's Kitchen problem. What kind of facility do they need? Who can provide it? What kind of support can we give as a government body? What kind of support can we all give as separate government bodies? Is this going to take someone from the private sector coming forward and saying, I have a space that's available? And then do we need to relax the zoning around it? I don't know how to solve that problem. So for me, I think the solution for us is going to be through the leadership council, getting everyone together and putting everybody on the same page and educating me as well as everybody else as to what do we do to solve these problems. I'm willing to help, you know, roll my shirt sleeves up and help solve them, but I admit I don't know all the problems right now.
Okay. Mayor Reese.
Of course, I'm going to ask my council for their input, but you know, I do think we have to work in parallel with this group, that the 10-year plan, because I think that's going to be very important for us long range. But I heard something tonight, this Mr. I'm looking at the immediate problem, and when is People's Kitchen, their facility, not going to be available to them anymore? What date is that? 6 months from now?
6 months.
And I heard, I think it was a Mr. Thornton,
yeah,
who said that there was a possibility that he had a facility. And I guess, you know, immediately I latched onto that, and I thought maybe that's something that we could work with to put the People's Kitchen in and maybe shelter the homeless, have a beginning there, and then, you know, work with that with the 10-year plan also. So that's something that I hooked in on almost immediately. So I'll ask my council. I know I may approach him. We'll have some input. Ted.
I jumped in ahead of her. Okay.
Don't be shy.
I'm not shy.
There you go.
Okay. One of the things that I think that, you know, we make our own bureaucracy. The planning stages and the design stages and these kinds of things take up a lot of time and doing a lot of studies. And I'd like, we can't raise enough money out of the public sector to be able to go forward and buy land to take care of human beings. And I think that, you know, we need to look to some of the agencies in Sacramento to get that money. Okay? The next thing, I'd like to tell you a little story about what was necessary to build a home for battered children in Orange County. The county had the land, okay? So the land was already there. And what they asked for They knew what they wanted. The people that they knew what it should look like. Okay, they knew the kind of thing they wanted. They wanted a kind of a homey atmosphere for these battered children to be able to, and these were only for temporary surroundings. Okay. Private enterprise designed that building for them, and private enterprise built it in conjunction with the public sector. And I think that that kind of thing will go a long ways, and it will go faster, much faster, because if we don't put the bureaucratic conditions before private enterprise, they probably can build the structure in about half the time that it would take for anybody to do this. And developers are out there really looking to pitch in and do this kind of thing. And some of the major corporations down there, like Irvine Ranch, Signal Oil and Gas Company, and some of the other companies got forward, and they built that with just the leadership from the government sector. And once you knew what you wanted and what they wanted, the materials arrived on site when they were necessary, and they were all donated. So I know that this kind of thing can be done, and it's been done before. We did two buildings down there. We did this battered children's home, as well as we put in a speech and hearing clinic that is still down there in Orange County. And it's being operated by people that like this out here that have donated their time. It's just, we need to get busy, and we can do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Airy.
I have to follow.
You got
to
follow that.
Jeez. Okay. that step is, sounds like Ted does, but let's make that commitment tonight so that the people that came out here tonight and stayed for 2.5 hours, we're not doing lip service, but we're actually going to take action.
Thank you, Ms. Higginbotham. Mr. Vardis.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. I also would like to commend the City of Grover Beach for initiating this forum. I think it's really important topic, and personally, I think it's a hard topic to deal with. I think a lot of us, including myself, we want to turn away and not think about it. But as a community and a regional community, we need to think about it. And a lot of the persons that are homeless, like was spoken tonight, they don't want to be in this situation. They want to get out of that situation. But there's barriers that are before them that force them to need some help. And I think as a community and cities, we need to join together and solve the problem. I was amazed to hear someone say, and if I'm not mistaken, that they actually have an overabundance of volunteers, that they're not short of volunteers, which that's fantastic to hear. And I really commend the people that are willing to take the time to out of their way to help others. The messages I heard, and it was my fellow council members will say it better than I will, or they have said it better than I will, is that we need a regional facility, and we need funding to make that facility come to fruition and funding to sustain it. And I think those are two goals. Those are, to me, the two most important goals. First, to develop a facility that's regional that can serve multiple needs, and that we have funding to build it and to maintain it. How we get there, that's the long road.
Thank you, Mr. Vargas. I want to go to Mr. Hill. And do you have any comments or anyone on your board?
I do have some comments, Mr. Mayor. First of all, again, I would like to thank you for taking the lead to get this meeting going. I'd like to briefly just make an explanation for those in the audience especially, and also perhaps for some of my fellow elected officials that aren't aware perhaps of the nature of a community services district and the significant difference between the CSD in Oceano and the cities of Pismo, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. Our organization has responsibility we share with the County of San Luis Obispo. In other words, we have a two-tiered government system, Obispo County. And I want to thank and salute Supervisor Kacho Ashajian and Supervisor Jerry Lenthal for being here tonight. My board unanimously, and I'm sure I can also speak for our director, Pamela Dean, who has been very interested in this, and I fear she may be ill tonight because she very much wanted to be here. And so I think the concern on the part of our board is evident. Unfortunately, with our two-tiered government system in Oceano, we have neither the authority or the ability to do anything practically with this issue other than express our support for the supervisors, Mr. Lilly, and the county staff that have the jurisdiction in this area. Now, that being said, most of the residents of Oceano look to us, to the Oceano Community Services District, as the elected representatives of the community, as if we were a city. And they are frustrated many times, and they expect that this community services district can take the same kind of actions on behalf of significant issues in the community that the city councils can do for their communities. But as an unincorporated urban area in the county, this community services district doesn't have that authority. And in fact, we're prohibited from, for example, expending any funds on issues that are not specifically within the charter of the community services district. So we kind of play a role of advocacy, if you will, for some of our residents who are either reluctant or unable to take their concerns directly to the county because there may be transportation limitations, people work and are unable to get to Board of Supervisors meetings, things like that. But all of our board members are here and support the efforts that you're considering this evening. And again, I want to salute the supervisors for being here and taking their time and interest in this serious problem in the community.
Thank you, Mr. Hills. Anyone on your board that would like to say something? Mr. Bookout, did you?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. You know, this is good that we've gotten all of our communities together here tonight. But myself and my other board members, I'm sure in any way we can participate and be involved, we want to be. In Oceano, we have a very large amount of homeless people. Mr. King mentioned a few instances in Oceano, out by the dunes, down in the creek area. We do have a large amount of homeless people there. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can provide safe housing for them in any way we can. That's all.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Bookout. Let me go to the supervisor. Supervisor Sajjan. Oh, Mr. Dahl, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. There was a couple things that came up that hit home for me. And one was the statement. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One was the statement that there's nothing here for clean and sober living. And the other statement was that homeless are looking for a hand up as opposed to a handout. And I think any program that needs to be developed as a whole program and not just a program to feed someone for one day or house them for one day, but a program that for those that are on having problems with alcohol or drugs or so, when they get off of it, that they have something to go to, a next step to go to, so that they don't work on getting themselves off of drugs or alcohol and then all of a sudden get dropped because there's no clean and sober next step for them to go to. And it needs to be something that is a program that helps them get to a point in their life where they are able to house and clothe themselves and feed themselves financially as well for those that can do that. And so we're looking to help solve that problem for them as opposed to take care of that problem for them where they are able to do it, move up in their life to a point where they are self-sufficient. And the other thing that came up was a one large facility statement that was made as far as needing something as a large facility. Many homeless are scattered today. If you locate that in any one particular spot, then the people that are outside of that ability to get there don't get fed. And so that is something that should be looked at in the plan, is do you really want something that is a one large facility in one location? Or is this something that you need as small little areas that you can bring the facilities to those people that are scattered throughout the county that are homeless? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dahl. Mr. Sajjan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I want to thank everybody for the time and effort here today. One group that we didn't hear from, the women's shelter, who do a great job, and I hope next time they'll be invited or hear about the meeting and look forward to hear their stories. I'm going to try not to make any political statements, such as we can stop the war in Iraq and build a homeless shelter in every county in the U.S., but let me get beyond that. We the county, with the help of Cal Poly students, did a great job of inventorying as what is the problem and who is a homeless person who they look like just any one of us. It will be a good way to start the meeting. It touches you when you see them in action. So hopefully that will be part of the agenda. And I hope that our next meeting, a follow-up meeting from here, will be after the leadership councils have met and have something to offer. As we heard, and I don't want to repeat everybody's, it's time for action, yes. And are we doing anything about it? It's also yes, which is a positive way to get into the inclusionary housing. What the county is going to do in the unincorporated areas, request that any development offer inclusionary housing, but areas such as Nipomo that has water problems, and we cannot, and I'm not in support of density, even though that's been brought up here for the reasons that we all have this in not in our backyard, it's politics and everything else. Instead of you offering the inclusionary housing, then you're going to give us dollar amount, which is not a small amount. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, depends on the size of the development. And that money, we're going to partner with the self-help housing to offer affordable housing, and we have a great partnership, very well-respected group. But I'm thinking maybe we can go beyond that. I'm trying to look at Mr. Lilly, but Carly's protecting him. Put it towards making our goal become a reality by building this one-stop daycare center for the homeless and the transition and everybody that needs that protection and help from us. But that comes from brainstorming among ourselves. And next time we do our general plan, because as we all have come across, yes, we need the schools, we need the churches, but not even our backyards. Now think of homeless shelter, how many people. We were able to, thanks to the leadership, Supervisor Lantol, to have the People's Kitchen in Grover Beach, and thank you for Grover Beach folks helping us with that center. But we did hear from folks that I'm troubled to see this in my backyard. And they have their reasons, and we need to hear to all concerned citizens and see how can we bring a balance. So let's bear in mind that next time we are doing our general plan, how can we put something aside, an area that designated for that kind of a use, so that future development or existing, they know that that is in their backyard. It's like moving next to the airport, then don't complain afterwards. So let's do something of that nature, but let's do it collectively as a South County decision makers. And Paso has great programs, and the weather permits. So let's do that. Let's bring Cal Poly students, have them tell us what they have learned. Let's do schedule the follow-up meeting so we don't go here and we're all busy. And I want to thank all the underpaid city staff that's with us here tonight. To continue this, we might want to choose something similar to the leadership council. Either all of us come together, which I think it's a great idea, so we're all under the same roof and listening to each other and the public, what they have to say, and create an action committee that will do something about it.
And we'll go to our inclusionary housing method of raising money to make affordable rental and personal houses available. And if you haven't gone to see one, please do so, because it doesn't look any different than the house that you and I live in, but it's built for the causes that we need to serve. Similar to DeSantos, I've gone to the People's Kitchen in the Prado Center, and it's a very touching experience. And I think we should all do that. It should be prerequisite for running to office. It will warm up your heart. You'll reach deeper in your pocket and wanna do the same policies in place that can raise similar amount of money. I know the timing is bad when the building industry is going downhill, but some of us who have been here long enough, that has come around. And let's plan during the bad times for the good times, so we can have something in place to deliver those services and promises that are cheap to make but difficult to make it happen. And I thank you for the time you have given me, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. And I had one follow-up question, and you had talked about the scheduling of our next meeting, and you had also said let's wait until the Leadership Council, I guess, has a chance to meet. Are you thinking waiting 6 months, or are you thinking if they've had a chance to meet few times?
No, they're meeting on March 20th, but they're meeting for the following 6 months. So March 20th is right around the corner, almost a month from here. That probably will take time. Sometime we can meet early April to give them enough time to write up their minutes. And Dana, is it possible that all of us will get minutes of that meeting that you can send to each city and unincorporated area such as Oceano, and they can distribute to the, so we know what happened, and then we'll have a follow-up. But it'd be great if we can schedule it, because some of us have very difficult times of having the free time to come to a meeting. Both Supervisor Lentz and I were supposed to be in Paso Robles with the cattleman's activity. We chose to come here. The food is better there, but thanks for the candies.
We missed a good steak dinner tonight, but it's for a good cause. It's for a good cause. Yeah.
But if we plan ahead of time, and because we want to be part of this, even though at the county level we're trying to do a little more, such as the Maxine place was in trouble, and we came through. We worked very partnership with the county and the city. So we're aware of these problems, but collectively we can do much more than, as I said, we can talk about it all day, but hopefully we put our monies where our mouths are and make it happen. And if we have any properties available, such as the county has properties, but they all have its master plans, and what we have here, around here, like we're working very closely with the city of Rwanda to do some swapping for other reasons, but wherever there are properties owned by any given jurisdiction, give it some thought, because properties are going to be the most expensive, and the rest, once the property is designated for, the rest, I think, is much easier to accomplish.
Great. Thank you, sir. Supervisor Lenthal.
Thank you, Mayor Scholes, and I also echo the comments of all the thanks here. In the interest of time, I want to make my comments brief. Mayor Farrell summed up, we need to set some specific goals, but we have parallel paths here. I agree wholeheartedly with what Ted and Shelley said, but I want to walk you back through a few years in San Luis Obispo only because I had personal firsthand knowledge of it. It is very, very important to define the size and scope of the problem. We did it in the city of San Luis Obispo for 15 years. What we didn't do was look at what was our biggest challenge. The biggest challenge was property and location. Once we were able to come up with a piece of property, which happened to be on city-owned land on Prado Road, we were able to build a facility between 90 and 120 days for about $100,000, and the majority of the money was raised very quickly with volunteer labor. So my concern is that we don't wait 6 months to try to do something. I think one of our number one priorities is to find property and location. I'm confident that even with the problems we have financially right now, just as easily as we raised $100,000 15, 17, 18 years ago, we could raise probably $1 million that gets our foot in the door so we can get some type of foundation money or a loan, and a bank will say, look, you guys know what you're doing, you have this. So I hope we don't suffer from analysis paralysis to try to find a perfect problem. I also recognize that in a perfect world, it would be great to have 4 or 5 acres. Realistically, that's going to add 10 times the time and the labor and the cost to do this. Let's look at bite-sized pieces on this. One of the shortcomings we had when we did the Prado Day Center is we didn't think about laundry facilities. We had a couple of bathrooms. We thought people were going to come and go and everything else. So we really didn't identify the problem. We can learn from what other communities have done, and I use San Luis Obispo as an example, to say here's our number one priority. We need to have a place where people can come in all weather, at all times, use a bathroom, take a shower. And I think one of the gentlemen said this best. I want to come in and take my pack so I can have a shower in the morning, have my laundry done, and do things like that so I can fit in and not look like a homeless person in your community and scare people away. So I hope that's our number one priority, that if we can find a location, I'm confident that once we find a location, it's going to be a walk in the park to help start raising money. Until we have a location, I doubt we're going to be able to raise any money on the private sector. So I hope that is our number one goal, along with studying and defining the size and scope of the problem. We know it's big. We just don't know how big. So that's my partake on this, because I don't want to see us make, and I'll use the term mistakes, but the lessons that the city of San Luis Obispo learned for 15 years. I also, when I worked in law enforcement, saw a direct reduction in shoplifting, theft, problems we had downtown because the people had a free meal, they had a place to go, and they didn't have to rip anybody off. Panhandling and everything else went down. So it does have a spillover, a ripple effect that is very difficult to quantify, but I think that should be our number one priority.
Thank you, Mr. Renthal. Well, there's a lot of great comments and words here, and I hear a lot of applause, and I hope we get to the point of action. So I want to thank my colleagues for being here. They've been very patient, and I want to ask members from the Grover Beach City Council to give some comments. And I also wanted to just make sure that everyone understood, I'm sitting here as mayor tonight. We have historically had a rotational mayor system. We'll be going to a directly elected mayor next November. And even though I had been talking to folks many times about trying to get something like this together, we really started talking in earnest during the time that Steve Lieberman was mayor, so I wanted to give some proper credit there. So with that, I'm going to come to Mr. Lieberman first and see if you have any comments or your take on this evening.
Thank you.
Wow. Is that really me? Wow. Thank you. And thank everyone for giving the time. We've been here for quite a while. We've heard great testimony. I've got a baseline education as to the services that this county offers. I have a baseline knowledge of how significant this challenge is. And like we've said, you know, the People's Kitchen it been in Grover Beach. And I think when the People's Kitchen issue came to us as a council when I was mayor, it drove the decision of saying this isn't just about the People's Kitchen. This is about a regional issue. When the People's Kitchen says there's 17 churches that are part of that, and they're not all in Grover Beach, it's a regional issue. So I think Betsy's group gave us a lot of impetus to get together this evening. I'm a lot like Ted, and besides similar hairlines, I'm kind of a nuts and bolts kind of person. I want to roll up my sleeves and identify a program and work towards satisfying that. And I agree that the first thing we have to do, and Jerry said it as well, is we need to find a location. Cacho said we need to make sure the zoning is appropriate so that when people invest around this property, they know what they're getting into so they don't move by the airport and complain. I want a plan. I am so grateful that Mr. King was here to share perspective, because now we know that while he may be a jerk, we can contact a gentleman in Santa Rosa and see just what makes that facility work the way it does to suit someone's needs. I don't have a lot of time as an elected official, and that's a good and a bad thing, but I want to be part of a solution. I want to be part of a working group, and I know we have a parallel course, and Tony stated it well. Let's find a location, and let's partner and make this happen. We're not going to be able to pay for it ourselves, any of our boards together. It is going to be a collaborative effort. There's so many great nonprofits out there, and we're all doing the best thing that we think we can. And if we could all focus our energies, I think that would be terrific. I'd love to see the food bank, the People's Kitchen, and a day shelter co-located on one site on a transportation route. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Bright, did you have anything?
I will say, oh wait, I have to tap.
There you go.
First, I'd like to say what he said. But also, I have served at the People's Kitchen, and my daughter did just a couple of weeks ago, and we do know how important it is. And so I really feel wholeheartedly how important this is. And so from a personal aspect, I will be involved from the get-go. We've been here long enough, and I want to thank everyone for being here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pass this along to my esteemed colleague so he can tell you how important it is to him. Thank you all.
Mr. Ashton.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you for showing up tonight. I like many people around here probably paid some lip service to the homeless and everything else in the past there, not realizing what kind of a problem that we face here. My church is one of the 18 churches that support the People's Kitchen over there, and by the way, it happens to be Aurora Grandy Church, so it does cross lines there. It's not just a Grover Beach problem, it is a regional problem down here. A number of I guess my constituents, fellow citizens, came to me a while back that a group got started up in Grover Beach there, on just walking distance from City Hall there, trying to address the homelessness, the People's Kitchen, and the whole bit there. And they've had I guess maybe a half a dozen meetings or so, and so they didn't put a gun to my head, but they said it behooved me if I showed up at these meetings there, and I learned a whole lot about what's going on there. And it consisted of people from I believe there was people there from EOC, the People's Kitchen, basically a conglomerate of a lot of people that have the same interests there. In fact, I even got Bob over there to show up one night with me there, and I know they want to continue on. It like everybody said, it's going to take a united effort to solve a problem. It's not a one city problem there. I did learn a lot of things in listening to them there. I'm a good listener. Bob talked me into going down to visiting actually a facility. I didn't hear it mentioned tonight. Maybe it did, and I overheard is Good Sam down in Santa Maria, a very strong organization. And we went down there and spent most of a day down there. I believe Bill went along with us that day there, and probably half a day down there. And outstanding thing what they're doing down there. They're located basically right in the heart of Santa Maria, right next to a park there. They've taken over some facilities that were going on the downway, and they modernized it. They work jointly with other groups there. They had a immense kitchen. I mean, they'd probably go in a big hotel somewhere, and they work with other groups that are feeding people for other things, senior programs and all that. So it does take working together. One thing I did notice, what was a real strong point with their program, is they have an outstanding leader. They have a young, I call her young because she's younger than me, but a young lady there that's running that program down there, and she is really sharp. She's got that thing so well organized, and they do have a board there that consists of police officers, city officials, and everybody else. They get support throughout the whole county. They even have a program where they're helping to set up some of these facilities throughout the area there. I think they set one up in Lompoc, for example. But they kind of do the, lack of a better word, the whole enchilada down there. They provide not only a shelter down there, they also provide psychological and a lot of other services there. And according to what they said, we actually send some of our clients down to them from the county up here. So I did learn a lot from that. Some of the things I did learn is it's got to be located in town. Now, if you talk to the average homeless person out there, and they don't want to cause any problems, they're very defensive in that. They said, well, just give us a piece of land somewhere out there where we wouldn't bother you somewhere. Well, that's not the way to solve the problem there. We're not trying to find a permanent home for homeless. We're trying to set up a permanent transitional place where we can get them back on their feet and back into our society there. And it's not going to help by locating them on some acreage out in the woods. They need to be where the jobs are. And this is what is pointed out to us there. They need to be, during the daytime, looking out for jobs and that, and then they have this facility that will help them along in the evening they get their meals, and hopefully within a period of time, 6 months or whatever it takes, get back on their feet again there. So that's one thing I did learn, that you can't, you don't want, as much as it sounds, that put them way out in the boondocks, and they're probably, a lot of them would be willing to, they don't want, I think there's a self-consciousness amongst themselves there, but they do need to be located where the jobs are, the transportation, and everything else is. So they have, I do feel they have a good program down there. Another thing I've learned, listening to a lot of the people there, one of the biggest homeless problems in our county is here in South County. Yeah, we have no facilities down here, basically. And they're doing a great job up in San Luis Obispo there, but where we need the facilities is down here in South County, because we do have one of the largest homeless populations there. I think it's going to take a united effort on all our parts. Another thing, what I did notice among them, they have a lot of good people are working from various groups in that, but they do need a little help. I think they need help not only in financing, but they're, let's say, kind of greenhorn when it comes to, say, real estate. They go out and they've been looking for locations to locate at, and somebody gives them a figure, say, $600,000, and they say, well, this is an impossible dream. Well, as we all know, those are, that's been around real estate for a while, that you don't have to put down $600,000 to acquire that place. There's ways to get it. So they need help, say, in the real estate aspect. There is somebody helping them find a location, or if they find a location, and show them how they can acquire that property and pay it off over, say, 20 or 30 years or something like that. So there's a place that we can help them out along that line there. But I think they do need the recognition of a group like us, a combined group of elected officials, city staffs, and all that there to get them on their feet and get something going. What we're trying to do is create something that's basically transitional, because as it's been pointed out many times tonight, there's going to be more people out there. For the luck, for whatever luck, it could be you or I out there in our society there. So I don't want to start sounding like a politician, so I better cut it short there. But I think there's been a lot of good information given out here tonight, and just a matter of putting it all together. I think everybody's hit on about everything out there. It just matters if we unite it into one piece and just go forward with this. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for those comments. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
I am pleased to be sitting here with all of these elected officials and the staff that we have from the different cities, a great bunch of people that I think can get a lot done. I learned a lot this evening. The different organizations that appeared here, service organizations that appeared here and spoke, I did not realize there were that many volunteer organizations out there, and they obviously are doing a great job, and we can use them as we move forward with this project. Very briefly, this is America. We can do what we want to do if we put our minds to it. I think that's all this group has to do. Put your mind to it. Let's set a plan. Let's move ahead, and let's get it done. I think Mr. King made a wonderful statement. He wants a facility that will help them help themselves. I think if we provide them with that, we will have accomplished a great deal. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And let me just begin by saying again, thanks to all of the elected officials who have shown up here this evening, to the staff that certainly provide the support that is necessary for us to begin to achieve some of the goals and missions that have been set out. The service providers who've come in and really helped us certainly opened our eyes and made us even more aware of the needs that are out there. And I can say that, and obviously in Grover Beach you can't talk without talking about People's Kitchen, and that's been something that we've been dealing with for a while. And I will tell you that we had looked at a potential facility in 2005, and circumstances came about which meant it was not going to work out. Regarding where there was turnover in our staff, there was issues with the facility that we had looked at. They were then relocated to another location, and I believe a lot of the uneasiness was solved for a little while. The reason I'm bringing that up is that shortly after that, I approached Bia Steinberg, and I've been on the ELC Board of Directors since 2006. And the first thing I said to Biz is, Biz, I understand that you guys are working on a facility in North County.
and I support that. But we really need to be thinking about South County because there is a real need down there. And so patiently sat. I actually sat through some of the issues, for lack of a better word, that came up between ECHO. I know there was a relationship between ECHO and EOC, and I know that there was a discussion of some redundancies in services, and I think ECHO has come forward tonight and presented a model that works in the North County. And so we've got that information. But that all culminates with us being here today. And so what we've heard tonight is a lot of information, a lot of electeds who've come up with great ideas, and I'll tell you, I've been on this council for 6 years, and I think the thing that I've learned about myself is I'm not as patient as I once thought I was, because it is slow to get things done when you work in a governmental agency, even when we are all pulling in the same direction. And so that said, I want to kind of maybe summarize all of this and maybe give us some direction for our next meeting. And we had talked about goals. And the first goal that I heard and came from Shelley Higginbotham, and the first goal will be commitment. Commitment is that it does not stop here this evening. The second is that we take action. I've heard a lot of bold talk tonight. Can we take that bold talk and turn it into meaningful action? The third goal is one of collaboration, and that means between the service providers and governmental agencies, and also coordination with San Luis County in their 10-year plan. And I agree with Mayor Ferraro that we need to do this in a parallel manner, and I'm okay with that. But where I have some concern is that Mr. Lilly had even said once they get done with the 10-year plan, it is not necessarily one that's going to lead to some implementation other than defining what the issue is, other than maybe identifying a possible model or organization that might benefit all of San Luis Obispo County. And I'm okay with that. However, I think People's Kitchen situation underscores the need to take action and to do it in a relatively short time. Mr. Thornton was here and he had talked about being offered a one-acre site. And so I think that's something we should look at. We've heard from a lot of people who talked about having a South County day center, something similar to Prado, to where the homeless can come and get a hot meal and take a shower and check mail and make phone calls, because it's not just homeless, it's those who are in transition. So to the extent that we can do this in a parallel track but have some actionable items, I think we need to go forward in that manner. And so I don't want to duplicate the effort of forming a task force, but if we're going to be on this leadership committee under the county's 10-year plan, I think we do need to have a status report along the way. But I would like to see maybe service providers getting together. Maybe there needs to be a coalition down here for the purpose of identifying sites, for the purpose of identifying roles and responsibilities, for the purpose of identifying resources, because as Mr. Linthal said, until we have a site, we can't begin fundraising and getting volunteers excited about that. So I'm hoping that while we prepare to be parallel process with the county, that we can have service providers get together immediately in the South County and try and identify potential locations. If Mr. Thornton's site works, that'd be great. But if it doesn't, then we need to take a look at what are some of the other options out there. So hopefully we will proceed with that. And finally, next meeting. And I think, Mr. Asajan, you were correct. I think we allowed the leadership committee to get formed to have their first meeting or second meeting, and maybe we talk about having another meeting in April or May. And I want to know how everyone feels about having another meeting like this in April or May. Any thoughts? I see a thumbs up there. Okay. So we will work with our staff to get the city managers. We'll work with them to get the logistics of another meeting and do the proper noticing and advertising. And I think you had talked about the women's shelter. That would be great to have a representative come back to us and report on that as well. So does everyone agree with the goals that I've kind of laid out there? Are there any questions? Okay. One last thing. And I was approached by Shelley Higginbotham. There's a 5-minute video And I had told her that if there was time, we would do it. And I know it's after 8 o'clock, and I'm begging you for 5 more minutes of your precious time this evening. But it is a video to kind of all remind us of all why we are here. And it, the title of it is Will We See Them, the Homeless in San Luis Obispo County? It says this film, Will We See Them, was produced by Interfaith Coalition for the Homeless and Vijayawada, a nonprofit corporation. All the photographs in the film were taken in San Luis Obispo County by Lisa Maxudian, a local professional photographer. The statistical references in the film derived from the San Luis Obispo County 2006 Homeless Enumeration Project, a study that was conducted on October 26, 2005 by San Luis Obispo County Homeless Services Coordinating Council. The study involved over 50 volunteers who actually counted persons at shelters, meal programs, encampments, and other areas frequented by the homeless population. During the count, every fifth adult was also surveyed to obtain additional information regarding their plight. A complete report of the study is available in PDF format through www.volunteerslo.org.
Mayor Schultz?
Yes.
Right here. This is the movie I was talking about that our next meeting would start with, not knowing that you had it here already. It's an excellent one. And
would you like us to get a head start? I want to be proactive.
No. Is that good?
You're doing a great job, as is.
Okay. We may have to.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gotta love technology.
Well, we were trying to be flexible, you know? 30 more seconds. All right, I like that. 30 seconds.
Seconds to spare.
Almost. Click the picture.
All
All right.
Okay. Is there someone
who can, is there someone who can turn the lights down? Do we know they are?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a postcard here, and I'm sure we can get a copy of that. But before we leave, let's keep them in our heart. let's keep them in our heads and let's keep them in our prayers so that we might do the compassionate thing and the right thing. Tonight's been a great start, and I thank everyone for being here. Please drive safely, and I hope you get home safely. And with that, we're adjourned.